To be back home. We missed a couple of weeks. We went down to down south a little bit and filled in for a pastor, went on vacation, and then last week went up on a work trip to Kansas City, where our company took some of our customers to the Chiefs Cowboys game. So I had a good time. Wouldn't want to do it every week, but I got to spend doing things that we normally don't do, and got to spend both weekends with a lovely lady, my wife. And so thought I'd better clarify that in case there's any question. But I was able to visit with most of you before the service. I've missed a few before the music started, kind of ran out of time. But it's good to be back home. I love being gone for a break, but it's greatest when you come back home, and I'm glad to be back here in Grace Walk. Would you take your Bible this morning and go over to Genesis chapter 49? Genesis chapter 49, and we're almost through the book of Genesis, and I have enjoyed it tremendously. 3 weeks ago, we were in chapters 47 and 48, and we saw how Jacob was at the end of his life, and although the beginning of his life didn't probably become the model, the later part of his life he realized that he had messed up and that he had made a change, and the wrong priorities became the right priorities, and he realized that he had so much to offer in serving the Lord and in following the Lord. And now Jacob is 147 years old. Now, I don't think we've got anybody that old in here. But Jacob was that old, and he is the son. He's the father of the second most influential and powerful man in Egypt, and it would be beneficial for us to see what his last words were as a father, as an influencer, I guess is the way you would say that. We looked at the verse in Hebrews that says, "By faith, Jacob, when he was a-dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff." And we made mention of how important it is. Now, Jacob being at that age and with the physical limitations that he had, he still worshiped the Lord the best way that he could, the only way he knew how. And that's very, very important. And so here in this chapter, Jacob gives blessings to his 12 sons, or in the case of a couple, they were not blessings, they were curses. And we learn from just looking at these boys' lives that there are consequences to what we do. There are natural results of the actions that we take, the courses that we go down in life. There's results. There's natural consequences. Let me read you. You stay right there in Genesis 49. And Valerie, if you'll put these three verses up on the screen, I'm just going to read them before we get into Genesis 49. And the first one is Proverbs 22, verse 8. Proverbs 22, verse 8. And I'm going to read that to you. I want you to read it with me on the screen as soon as she gets it over there. Proverbs 22, verse 8 says, "He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail." Now, that word vanity right there, in its simplest terms, is emptiness. And so that gives us a concept that we can do what we want in life, but often in life, there's just emptiness at the end of it. There's just emptiness sometimes in the things that we do in our lifetime. Valerie, the second one is 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Now, what I take from that one is that there is a level of extreme with our consequences. There is a level of extreme that if you sow sparingly, then you will reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, then you will reap bountifully. Valerie, the next one is Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Galatians 6, verse 7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And these are just verses to keep in mind, that although we go through this chapter 49 and we see the blessings and the cursings given from Jacob, the father. Now, real quick about that right there, in the Old Testament times, God spoke through men. Now, in the New Testament time, in our time, God speaks through his word. A man or a woman may be saying a lesson or teaching from God's word, but it's God's word that does the prompting, and it's God's word that does the leading. And so as Jacob is giving his curses and his blessings upon his sons, he is being prophetic in nature. God has given him this information, and it's all based upon the lifetimes of these 12 sons. And that's what we're going to read this morning. Okay, read with me, Genesis 49, verse 1. "And Jacob called unto his sons and said, Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father." And here's the first one, Reuben. Now, by the way, the order here is not chronological from firstborn to the very end, but rather it's chronological by the birth of the mother, because there were four mothers involved here, five maybe. But it's by that they're lumped together by the mother. And the first one is Reuben. He says, "Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power." Now, don't read verse 2 yet. I love that verse. That has got such great promise to it. Here is Reuben, the firstborn, and Jacob's might, the beginning of Jacob's strength, the excellency of Jacob's dignity, and the excellency of Jacob's power. Isn't that great? So much promise there. He had so much going for him. Now let's continue. "Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch." Now you know the story. We went through the story. Reuben went in and he committed incest with Jacob's wife. And because of that, he lost his birthright. He lost his blessing. He should have received both. His birthright went to Judah and his blessing went to Joseph. And it was all because he had to endure the consequences of his sin. Now, a phrase comes to mind here that you've heard and I've heard many times in my life. It's even the title of a song, I believe, or it's in a song. And this is what it is. "Sin will take you farther than you'll want to go." Isn't that a good one? That's a good phrase for Reuben's life. So that's Reuben. Had a great start, but he got a curse. Verse number 5 says, "Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not unto their secret, unto their assembly. Mine honor, be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they digged down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel." Now you remember the story. We looked at it in chapter 34 where Jacob's daughter was raped. And in the righteous indignation, these two brothers went in to Chemosh, the city where this happened, which by the way, it happened by the king of Chemosh. And they killed every man in that city and they tore the city down. They did not wait for justice. They took matters into their own hand. And here Jacob is saying, "Listen, you guys are instrument of cruelty. And I don't want anything to do with what you've done. And because of that, you're going to be scattered. Both of your families, your tribes, will be scattered in Israel." And we find out that this did happen. Both Simeon and Levi's family were scattered in history, but they didn't have the same ending in history. We find that Simeon his family was scattered, and his family was guilty of the grossest idolatry and sin. And at the end of his life, there was no notable record of that family. There was nothing left. But now Levi, he was also scattered. His family was scattered. But later, his curse was changed to a blessing because of their faithfulness as we wandered through the wilderness. Now, isn't that neat? Isn't that wonderful? Can you say this right here? We serve a God of second chances. And at first, Levi participated in this heinous crime of killing every man. Now the rape of the sister was terrible, but instead of consulting with Jacob the father, instead of consulting with whatever justice they had available at that time, instead of waiting for that to happen, they took matters into their own hands, and because of that, they were scattered in this blessing and cursings chapter that Jacob gives us in chapter 49. Never too late, just like Levi. Never too late. If you're breathing, it's never too late to make a difference, to make a change in your life. I love that. I love the fact that we serve a God of grace, of mercy. And I love that he's a God of second chances. And no matter what we've done, he is still willing to talk to us. Now, we'll experience the consequences, the nature of our sin. There'll be results. And all those things will continue to roll on. But God is good. God is good. Verse number 8, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? Now from Judah, his family, from the loins of Judah comes King David, King Solomon, Jesus Christ. And so Judah, Judah at first, he is the one who tried to change his brother's mind when they lowered Joseph into the pit. Instead of killing him, guys, let's sell him. He was trying to give a little. We could see a change in his character just in that right there. And then later, if you remember, just probably 4 or 5 chapters ago, Judah was the one that tried to intervene and tried to stay in Benjamin's place when somebody had to stay behind in Egypt. So we see some goodness there. We see some intent there. And here, he is blessed for it. Jesus Christ himself will come from the lion of the tribe of Judah. Verse 11 continues about Judah, binding his foal unto the vine and his ass's colt unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine and his teeth white with milk. So Judah received a blessing. In verse 13, we see what Zebulun received. Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea. He shall be for an haven of ships, and his border shall be into Zidon. And by the way, all of this happened exactly like he said. Zebulun did not have a place directly on the sea, but he was very close to the sea. And history tells us that his family, his tribe, if you will, was very instrumental in the repair of ships. In maritime history, they tell us this, that can be proved. And it was a vital family that did much commerce and business in the repair of ships. Verse 14 talks about Issachar. Issachar is a strong ass couching down between two burdens. And he saw that rest was good and the land that it was pleasant, and bowed his shoulder to bear and became a servant unto tribute. History tells us that Issachar and his family were great people of commerce, people of business. They worked hard. They bowed their shoulder to bear and became a servant unto tribute. They were industrious people. They were hard workers. In fact, Issachar's name means man of wages. You know, if you sit on your behind and never work, you don't get wages, do you? Well, you might in this day and age, I guess, with the government handouts. But in principle, you don't get wages if you don't work. And Issachar was a worker. Verse 16 talks about Dan. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path. that biteth the horse heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. Now, Dan, the word Dan actually means judge. And from his family, in his family line, there'll be a long list of judges who judge the nation of Israel. Now, most of these judges were not good people. That's the serpent part. Most of these people were not good. Samson judged Israel for 20 years, and he's from this family. And the Bible says that the tribe of Dan shall be a serpent. By the way, it alludes to their moral being a serpent. Immorality is what I'm trying to say. And so Dan finds no place among the tribes. Now, look at verse 18. Jacob says, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Now, he just stops his blessings and his curses on his son. It's almost like Jacob had to gather his thoughts. He's had some bad news now. By the way, you know what I like about this whole chapter? Jacob, in spite of how difficult it must have been to give some of his sons curses and bad news about them, he does it anyway. He says the hard thing. That's hard to do. Who in here has kids that you enjoy saying something that doesn't sound good and doesn't feel good? Nobody, none of us like that. There's things about our family that if we were honest with each other, we would admit and we would say, but it's not a pleasure to do so, is it? No, not at all. And Jacob had the moral fortitude. He had the courage and the openness to say exactly what needed to be said. And can I just tell you this morning that that's needed in our country today? People who would say the truth, no matter how hard it was. We don't find a whole lot of that. We don't find that in politics. We don't find that on the world stage. And Jacob was able to do that at his age in talking about his sons. Verse 19 is about Gad. Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. We find that from history that the nation, the tribe of Gad, were generally victorious in all their wars, and he shall overcome at the end. That's what that means. Verse 20, out of Asher his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. Now the name Asher even means blessed. And so he had the family of Asher inherited land that became very agriculturally rich land, and they were blessed greatly by God. Verse 21 says, Naphtali is a hind or a deer let loose. He giveth goodly words. Now, the hind reference is about the deer-like speed and agility and ability that marked this family militarily. They were able to conquer. They were good in what they did. They were very able to conquer other people as those fights and wars would erupt. And not only that, they could talk. They gave goodly words. They knew how to communicate. History bears it out, the song of Deborah and Barak in Judges chapter 4. They're a direct descendant of Naphtali, of the tribe of Naphtali. Now verse 22 starts talking about Joseph, and he gets a lot of attention here. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run the wall, or the well. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Now, these two verses are a short biography of Joseph. He's been the subject and the target of his brother's arrows. They have shot at him. They have tried to take his life. They have been against him. And yet, he proceeds to shower blessings upon the very people that were trying to take him down. It continues in verse 25. Even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that I'm sorry, I'm having trouble with my eyes, and I can't hardly read for some reason sometimes. So, which, by the way, I'm getting corrected. I went to an ophthalmologist, and there's a plan, so you pray for me. But I just start reading, and then it just goes completely fuzzy. That's why I'm stammering a little bit here. That lieth under blessings of the breast and of the womb. So here Joseph is, and he's receiving blessings because he has given blessings. Verse 26 continues, the blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors, and to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills they shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. If you remember all that happened with Joseph, he was separate from his brethren. At one time, they were all against him. At one time, they did things that were against him. And now, Jacob is proclaiming upon Joseph this great blessing, and upon his two kids, Ephraim and Manasseh. Great blessings were realized upon this family. Verse 27 is about Benjamin. Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall devour the spoils. Now he was a fighter. His family was a fighter, and a lot of skirmishes took place with the tribe of Benjamin. Now, on a side note, the Apostle Paul, Saul, came from the line of Benjamin. And so he says in verse 28, he kind of summarizes everything that he's doing. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is it that their father spake unto them and blessed them, everyone according to his blessing. He blessed them, and he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered into my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephraim the Hittite for possession of a burying place. Jacob is saying, I want to be buried with my family, with my fathers. He's probably also, if you could read into it, I've not always been the man that I have needed to be, but now I'm that man, and I want to be buried in the same place that my grandfather, that my fathers have been buried. And verse 31 says, there they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife. And there I buried Leah. The purchase of the field and of the cave that is therein was from the children of Heth. And when Jacob had made an end unto commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered into his people. So there's 12 sons, and I'm sorry for the speed at which I did this, but I want to end this in a certain way. 12 sons. Three received great loss: Reuben, Simeon, and Dan. Another one received loss and a curse that turned into a blessing later on down the line, and that was Levi. And then 8 different sons received great blessing: Judah, Zebulun, Issachar, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Benjamin, and Joseph. Now, can you listen to this statement? And you'll see from this chapter that it's true. Lessons in life sometimes come hard, sometimes easy, but they most surely will come. Lessons in life sometimes come hard, sometimes come easy, but they most surely will come. That statement bears out one of the verses that we read to begin this lesson. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. One of the hardest lessons in life for you and me as human beings is that lesson right there. It seems, when you look back on it, and even maybe before things happen, it seems so easy. It's such a pronounced, given statement that happens. But when you're in the fire, when you're in that part of your life where you are trying new things, and you in your faith takes a dive, and things begin to happen with your service to the Lord, it's harder to remember these concepts during those times, isn't it? And you've been there. There have been times in your life when you've done other things, and it's easy to forget that God will not be deceived, and he will not be mocked. There's a verse in Proverbs I want to read to you. Proverbs 23, verse 23. Very simple verse. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also, wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Now, that's a very simple verse. Let me ask you a question. When you buy something, is it given to you? No. I see some heads shaking. No. When you buy it, when you buy something, there is a cost. When you buy something, you have to give something to make that payment. And Proverbs 23:23 tells us to take the effort to buy the truth. Let me tell you, sometimes there's a cost to that. And these boys, all 12 of them, had to make that decision. Were they going to give that cost? Were they going to give that effort to buy the truth and the wisdom and the instruction and the understanding? Or were they just going to let it go? Well, I'm telling you, you and I have the same decision to make. There is a cost when we buy God's instruction. There is a cost when we buy and we keep the truth. Now, the other part of that verse is, and sell it not. When you sell something, you receive something in return, don't you? We're considering selling a car in our family. And if we are able to do that, then we will receive some money in return. And Proverbs 23, verse 23 tells us, buy the truth and then turn around and keep it. Don't sell it for anything. Don't make any transaction that would allow you to not have that truth and that wisdom and that instruction and that understanding in your life. Well, let me ask you this question. How do you do that? How do you keep wisdom and truth at the forefront of your life? Can I just give you a very quick answer? God's Spirit has to do that. The psalmist says just in three verses later, Valerie, verse 26, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Now, what that tells me is two things, is that God wants complete and autonomous control over our hearts. He wants the whole shebang. He doesn't want a piece of me. He says, give me thine heart and let your eyes observe my ways. Let your eyes observe what I do and what I say and the things that encompass in my life, my ways. It's so important for us always to be seeking guidance from God, from His Holy Spirit. My dad and I were talking. He's preaching this morning in Littlefield. He's filling in for a pastor. And he's preaching from Psalm 139. And so this morning I was looking at Psalm 139. And that chapter ends in two verses. And this is what they say. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. The truth of the matter is, can you hear me? As we live our life, we do forget. As we experience our heartache, and as we experience our joy, and as we deal with all the changes, my heart, and if there's anything in there. blessings and cursings. Where am I? Well, I don't know where I am, but I know this right here. God will show me if I let Him. I've been so impressed with the principle of how God wants to lead His people with His Spirit. And I'm just afraid sometimes I go through life and sometimes we get busy. We get busy with life and we get busy and off track and with our faith, and we sometimes our service becomes very mechanical and not a lot of thought to it. And I need to be like the psalmist and say, God, search my heart. This thing that I'm doing or not doing, this thing that I'm considering, this move or the decision to stay or this job, this new job or this keeping the old job, whatever it might be, God, search my heart. And God, if I'm going down a path that I don't need to go, let me know. And we got to be open to do that. We got to be open to do that, because if we don't, we might go down the wrong path. We might be like Reuben. We might be like Dan. And we might be like somebody that wakes up at the end of their life and they look back at their life and say, man, I wish I'd listened to the Lord. Don't you imagine as these 12 boys sit around their father's knee, probably sitting there on the floor or something, I don't know. Don't you imagine as those that heard a curse instead of a blessing? Even in the worst of people, wasn't there just a little thought that, man, I wish I'd listened. Linda, I wish I'd bought that truth. I wish I'd paid the price to get that bit of truth. And maybe it didn't come from Dad, but it came from Grandpa and Great-Grandpa. It was there if I would have just bought it, if I would have just pulled out my cost, if I would have just made that purchase and done that with my life. God, help us to do that. And we have the most wonderful privilege in this day and age. And that is to be right here under a pastor who teaches God's Word, because if we listen, we'll hear it. We'll get our wisdom, and we'll get our instruction, and we'll get our understanding. God, in His wisdom and His sovereignty, He put this thing together called a church. It's a church, a local assembly of God's people. And if you go to Hebrews chapter 10 and you read those verses prior to the command to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, what you read is a church is put together by God for the good of each other. I need Linda. I need Albert. I need Judy. I need all of you. And you need each other. And we need to all be together, needing each other under the sound of truth and wisdom and instruction. That's a great privilege. We prayed this morning in the men's room, God, let's make 2022 at Bible Baptist Church a year of renewed interest to be in Your house, to be here. And we're going to go on vacation, and we're going to be out, and we're going to be sick from time to time, but God, make this the forefront of our goals, the forefront of our vision, is to be in God's house in 2022. Would you pray with me? God, we thank You for this example from Genesis 49 that we're no different.